being faithful to the house of the Lord, but more importantly to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we gather together. I think it's important that we gather every time the opportunity avails itself. I know that some churches don't always meet Sunday evening, but it's important that you meet whenever your church meets. And I'm so thankful that you're here. You didn't allow the heat. We could have used the excuse, my car's too hot, I'll get dressed up, I'll be sweaty when I come in, and that may be true. But guess what? All of us are sweaty, so we'll just fit right in. And thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. As we think about the Red, White, and Blue Day, I'm excited about our special speaker that we're having come, and you'll be very surprised about the speaker. And so it's all I'm going to say. You come and see. He'll be teaching in Sunday school, giving a historical background to America, and then he'll be preaching the Word of God on the AM service. So you come. And when you come, you bring large sides, and a large dessert, and the church is going to provide the hamburgers and hot dogs and all the accoutrements that go along with that. And so we're just going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. You say, well, I looked at the news. It might rain a little bit. Listen, rain never stopped the Baptists from eating. I can guarantee you that. Amen. And so we'll have fun outside. And we have some snow cones, and we have some probably watermelon, and all kinds of games for kids and adults. So just come be a part of it. You can dress for church. If you want to change into casual but appropriate clothes for the picnic, we welcome you to do that as well. Thank you for all those who have taken part in that. A lot goes into doing that. I want to thank Pastor Graninetti for his coordination of that, and Brother Henry as well for putting things together as the Sunday School Superintendent, and Miss Mary coordinating a lot of the food items, and Brother Michael as well. A lot goes into doing that, and then the deacons carrying the tables on their backs out to where we're going to put them out. We appreciate that so very much. It just takes a lot of work, amen. And that's why it's important that every one of us play our part that God has called us to do. Well, here we find in Psalm 78, in verses 1 through 7, we'll read in just a moment or two. But in this psalm, we find that the writer Asaph really gathers a wealth of historical evidence to show this. In spite of the nation of Israel's foolishness, in spite of Israel's disloyalty to God, in spite of their direct disobedience by God's people, the Lord still loves them, and he patiently watched over them and even provided for them. I think some of the times that God has rebuked this pastor, the harshest is when I know I did not deserve something, but God still gave me something. He met a need in my life when I would have been God, I wouldn't have gave it to me. I wouldn't have met my need. But then as God did that, I began to really break my heart for my disobedience to the Lord. Well, let's just look here. We're going to look at a lot of verses today, so keep your Bible open. Look over in verse number 38 and verse number 39. Verse 38 and 39. We'll get back to our text in just a minute or two, but this whole chapter really is our text today. But don't let that scare you. The Lord still loves them. He still patiently cared for them. Look at verse 38 and 39. But he, speaking about God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Hey, there's a good lesson for us sometimes, amen. If God can do that, surely you and I at times need to do that as well. Look at verse 39. For he remembered that he were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. This account that's recorded is for our benefit tonight. I hope we learned something from it, but also it's for our warning as well. Notice the charges that were against the nation of Israel. Switch back over to verse number 8. Verse number 8. Notice what God charged them with in verse 8. He charged them with stubbornness and rebellion. The Bible said in verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Boy, if that wasn't bad enough, here God calling his own children stubborn and rebellious. Maybe you as parents thought your children were like that, but not too often do we say, you're a stubborn person, you're rebellious. But look at verse number 11. We find something else that the nation of Israel did. The Bible said they forgot his works and forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. How true it is oftentimes that after God does something for us, after some days, weeks, months, or even years pass by, we forget the great works that God has done in our life. But then notice in verses 17 and 18, you say, boy, they really are on the wrong side of God. But you know what? Let's not blame the nation of Israel so much. You and I could be found ourselves in these same ways. Notice verse 17 and 18, we find they provoked and tempted God. The Bible says, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. And look at verse 22. It continues on, God's indictment of the nation of Israel. Notice they believed not and trusted not. The Bible says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. And this salvation here doesn't mean salvation as we know it today, of becoming born again, putting your faith and trust. It literally means this. It means their deliverance. The nation of Israel did not trust God, didn't believe God for their deliverance as they wandered in the wilderness. But then look in verse number 32, again, God's indictment before them, that we see that they continue to still sin. For all this day they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Oh boy, if that doesn't describe us, as we spoke about Sunday evening, about our besetting sin that we have in our life, that continuous sin, that besetting sin. Then notice, if it doesn't stop there, God finishes off speaking to the nation of Israel in verses 36 and verse number 37. And notice what he says, that they only gave God lip service. Uh-oh, be careful. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. My, oh my. Even if you would say, Pastor Carroll, I'm not stubborn. I'm not rebellious. I didn't forget all that God has done in my life. I don't provoke God. I don't cry out and tempt God. I believe God and I trust God. And listen, I'm staying away from sin. Listen, verse 36 and verse number 37 speaks probably to a lot that are here under the preaching this evening, is that they only give God lip service. Notice what it said. They did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. I'm working on a message that we'll preach in the coming days about this matter of lying and telling the truth. Well, we find that God says they did that because their heart was not right with them, and neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But then listen to what Asaph says to them. Look down to verse number 40. We'll get to our text. Just hang on. It's Wednesday Bible study, right? Look at verse 40. Notice what Asaph said. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? But then notice verse number 41. Notice what it says, where I want to be tonight. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And notice these last words. And limited the Holy One of Israel. You say, can God be limited? And I'm going to answer that, yes, emphatically, God can be limited. We'll explain that to you as we go on. So let's turn over to verse number 1, and let's read our text. Verse number 1, and then we'll read down through verse number 7, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Who would read verses 1 and 2 tonight? 1 and 2. Thank you. Who would read verses 3 and 4? Anybody over here on this side? All right, Diana. Who would read 5 and 6? 5 and 6 over here on this side? All right, thank you. And who wants to bring home with verse number 7 over here on this side over here? Verse 7. All right, thank you. Let's read and then we'll pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Oh, Father, as we would look at that last part of that one verse, I pray, Father, that we would find that we not limit the Holy One of Israel. Oh, Father, so many times we're the one that limits your working. So, Father, I pray now for your children that you would understand tonight, today, Father, that they ought not to be the one that limits you. So, Father, we pray now your blessings upon this time as we study your word tonight, and we pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think really there's two things that we want to get out of this tonight. The first one is simply this. You can tell by all those things that we have read, that God's indictment upon the nation of Israel, that God is both ready and desiring, or he could use the term longing, to do great things for his people. You understand? Just as a father wants to do great things for his children, and so God the Father wants to do great things for you, his children, as well. But there's a second thing I want you to understand tonight, that God is oftentimes prevented from doing those things because we'll not let him. Or we could say this, as in our verse, that we limit the Holy One of Israel, found in verse number 40. And so tonight I want us to consider a few different things. The first thing I want us to consider tonight is this. I want us to consider the people who were guilty of limiting the power and the work of God. As we look here in Psalms 78, who were the people that limited God doing his great work and revealing his great power? I want you to understand, first of all, it wasn't the unsaved. It's not the agnostic who basically says this, that the nature of things are unknown and unknowable. I want you to understand it's not the atheist who really says this, that I have no personal belief in God. It's not the infidel who says something like this, they have no religious faith. It's not them. It's not the unsaved. It's not, secondly, Satan. There's no way that Satan could ever limit the power of God. You say, why is that? Because God is omnipotent. In other words, God is all-powerful. And the creature can never be more powerful than the creator. And I think sometimes we need to remember that. That Satan is not more powerful than God. And because Satan is a creation from God the Father. So we understand this, although Satan cannot limit the power of God. I do believe this. I believe Satan stirs up trouble in our churches and the hearts of those believers. So we have to caution ourselves about that as well. Well, if it's not the unsaved and it's not Satan that limits the power and work of God, just then, who is limiting God's power? Well, I think, secondly, it's God's own people. I would say this, that God's problem, if I can call it that, because it's really not God's problem, if you allow me to use that vernacular, God's problem is not in the world. God's problem is with his own people. It's with the apple of his eye. It's with the nation of Israel. And by the way of application, it's you and I as well. Notice back in verse number 1, if you'll look at verse number 1 of Psalm 78, the Bible says, give ear, O my people. So we find that Asa is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He's just a penman. He says, give ear, O my people. In other words, he's saying, listen, my people. Asa was not addressing the lost world. He was addressing the apple of God's eye. He was addressing the nation of Israel. He was addressing the Jewish nation. And we're living in a day today of apathy where people have a lack of interest or a lack of concern in what God has to say. We live in a day of apostasy where people are departing from the faith, perhaps, that they once knew. And so we understand this, that Asa is writing to God's people. God is not speaking to lost people today. He's speaking to his church today by the way of application. But then I want us to consider something else tonight. I want us to consider the one who we are limiting. The one who we are limiting. Notice in verse number 41 of Psalm 78. Verse 41 says this, yea, they turned back and tempted God. Notice the wording, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Who did they limit? Who do we limit at times? We limit the Creator. We limit the Sustainer of this earth. We limit the Redeemer of all mankind. Think about this. He's a loving God, a just God, a caring God. He's a life-giving, almighty God. He is the one in whom all things are possible and for whom nothing is too hard. But yet we limit him. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 1 in verse 37, where the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." But yet we find that as we consider the one who we're limiting, the holy God of Israel. Look how Asa remembered his power in this psalm. Look at verse 13. We find in verse 13 that he divided the sea of the nation of Israel. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made waters to stand in a heap. Look at verse 14. He led with a cloud and a pillar of fire. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at night with a light of fire. We'll not take time to read, but in verses 15 through 20, he provided the nation of Israel with refreshing waters. And then in verses 45 down through verse number 52, we find him mentioning the plagues that he sent on the nation of Israel. So this is the one who that was limited by the people's sin and the people's unbelief. It was the Holy One of Israel. But then notice something else. As we make application to our life today, how do we, as God's people today, limit him? I think we can limit God by our disobedience. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So I think the fundamental condition of blessings in the lives of God's people is always this. It's obedience. That familiar song that we often sing in junior church and sometimes in vacation Bible school. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience means this. It means we gladly obey. It means we obey unquestionably, doing what God ask us to do. You know, oftentimes we will obey God, but we don't do it gladly, or we don't do it without questioning God. Listen, when God speaks to our hearts, we need to obey him gladly and unquestionably. Some might ask this, is obedience really necessary, or is it all that important? You say, well, why do I have to be obedient? I think it's very important. Keep your fingers in Psalm, but let's turn over to the Gospel of John as we take a perusal through the book of John. John chapter number 14 and verse 15. We'll start there, then we'll move over. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. All right, who would read that for us tonight? Who would read that for us tonight? John 14 and verse 15. All right, thank you, sister. All right, so here we find the Lord saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if that was a one-off, it was a one-time thing, Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, that'd be very important for us to keep. Anything the Bible says, whether it's said once, thrice, or 400 times, is important for us to do. But I want you to understand this. I look at John, and I believe that John as being the disciple of obedience. And he keeps hitting on this idea of us being obedient to the commandment of Christ. Turn over to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, and look at verse number 7. Notice as John continues on. John 15 and verse 7. Who would read that for the pastor tonight? John 15 and verse 7. All right, Pete. All right, thank you, Dan. I think I said Pete. I don't know what I was thinking. I was texting with Pete today and had a brain flash or something, so thank you. Hey, notice again, he goes from chapter 14 straight into chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words in you, shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. So basically he's saying this, you need to be obedient. Look at verse number 10. Who would read verse number 10 of the same chapter? Somebody on this side? Anybody on this side? All right, sister, go ahead. All right, so here again, he's speaking about obeying, about obedience. And I love this verse. He says, as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look down at verse number 14. Somebody on this side, how about David? You had your hand raised before. Verse 14.
You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
All right, again, what is he saying? He's telling us that we ought to be obedient to Christ. All right, flip all the way over to 1 John. Now, 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 22. I'm just telling you, this theme of obedience, of keeping the commandments, being obedient, is a familiar thing. That's why it's important, it's necessary for you and I to be obedient to what Christ asks us to do. All right, who would read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22? What side were we on last time? We're on this side, aren't we? Over here on this side. All right, 1 John 3 and verse number 22. I think it's 1 John and Exodus, if you're close, if you found that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. There's no big words in there, no big names. All right, sister, thank you. All right, here we go. We find oftentimes that as we're obedient to God, we please Him. God hears and answers His prayer according to our will. Well, we see that it's very necessary for you and I. We limit God by our disobedience. So I don't know about you, but a good lesson for you and I would be that we need to be obedient to the Lord. Look at verse number, turn back to where we were in Psalm 78. And let's look at verse number 42, Psalm 78 and verse 42. All right, and somebody over here on this side would like to read Psalm 78 and verse number 42. Who would read that? All right, Ed? All right, so if we were guessing, Ed, what would we guess? We limit God by our what? Not remembering, right? Forgetfulness, right? That's what the verse says in verse 42. They remembered not, and I just use another word, forgetfulness. It goes all the way back to verse number 11, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. I wonder, if you just think for just a moment, how much has God done for you? How many answered prayers has God answered for you, and very soon that we have forgotten what God has done? Think about His goodness to you. Think about His mercy to us. How quick does that fade from our lives as soon as another trial comes into our life, as soon as another situation pops into our lives? And as we become immersed in new trials and new problems, we quickly forget all that God has done for us. Well, we understand this. We limit God by our disobedience. We can limit God by our forgetfulness. But notice verse number 32. We limit God by another reason. Who would read verse number 32? I think we're over here on this side now. 32. Who would read verse 32? All right, sister. All right, so if we were to ask you, how do we limit God according to verse 32, what would you say? By our doubt and unbelief, exactly right, thank you. We limit God by our doubt and unbelief, for they all have sinned, sin still, and believe not His marvelous works. Keep your finger there, but let's turn over to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. What time is it? Zach's in the way. I think it's only 7:15. We got plenty of time. Turn the Gospel to Mark chapter number 6. All right, let's read together verses 1 through verse number 6. All right? Mark chapter number 6. I still hear some pages turning. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is that which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought in his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto him, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin and his own household. And he could not, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. You see here, it wasn't that Christ was not able to do so, but because of their lack of faith and their lack of unbelief, they limited what Christ was going to do for them. The disciples, we won't take time to turn there, but in Matthew chapter number 17, we understand that the disciples had gone out in verses 14 through 21, and they could not cast out demons. But I thought about this as I read this passage of Scripture, that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 1, Christ had empowered them to go out and do that very same thing, to cast out demons. Well, why couldn't they do it? Well, the Lord tells them in that passage in Matthew chapter 17, because of their unbelief. And so oftentimes we limit God by our disobedience, by our forgetfulness, and by our unbelief. But let's turn back to Psalms 78. That's why I told you to keep your finger there, because we'll be turning back and forth. Psalm 78, and let's look at verse number 37. Psalm 78 and verse number 37. As we look at that verse, who would read that for us? And you know the big question is coming after that, right? Okay, sister, go ahead. Okay, so how might they, and sometimes us as well, limit God? How about by our insincerity? Correct, that's a great answer. By our insincerity, we limit God. Notice it says, was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You know, sometimes we limit God when we talk the talk. Can you finish the rest of it? Talk, but don't walk the walk. That's right. Insincerity. We say we love God, but do we exhibit that love of God? And so it's easy to sing these hymns, I surrender all. But I wonder how many, when we sing that song, do we really surrender all? How about this? I'll live for him who died for me, but yet we live like the world, the flesh, and the devil. How about this? Onward, Christian soldiers. But we're going to be a silent soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ and not mention anything. How about we sing this wonderful hymn? Boy, I hope John puts this on the schedule. I don't even know what's in our book. Stand Up for Jesus. You know that one? Stand up for Jesus. But how often do we not stand up and we sit on our hands and not say a word and not do anything that he would have us to do? How about this song that we oftentimes sing during revival messages, during revival time and offering time, because we want to be a blessing to the speaker, make me a channel of blessings. But yet, we're not willing to make ourselves a channel. You see, I think Jesus called these people that did those things, that did not do those things, he called them a hypocrite. In Matthew 15, and verses 7 through 9, Jesus said this, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men." You see, here's the truth. Our insincerity literally means inconsistency with God. Inconsistent in our life, inconsistent in our testimony before the world, and it will limit God's blessings and in and through us as we seek to try to serve him. Well, as we close and move on to our service, I think you understand that this list could just go on and on and on. We try to take some examples from the text in Psalm chapter number 78. And the truth is simply this, is that we limit God's blessings upon us by what we do and do not do. Consider your life and your witness and how that you might have limited God. We ought to be like the psalmist in Psalm 139. Let's just turn there as we close. One more place to look. Psalm 139. And look at verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and verse number 24. We need to be like the psalmist David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If we're not careful, we'll limit God by our obedience, by our forgetfulness, by our doubt and unbelief, and lastly, by our insincerity. Let's not limit the work of God in our life, in our family life, and our church life. Let's be obedient. Let's not be forgetful. Let's have faith and not doubt and unbelief. And let's be sincere that what we speak from our lips that comes from our hearts would be truly what we really are. Let's pray.